Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So much fun, as always, on these Layla Rahimi Wednesdays. And our guests today included Mike Florio and Kevin Fishbane. Thanks to all who participated in our inaugural presentation of Heat Court. And now we bring in Lawrence Holmes, who's going to be with you for the next couple hours. What's up?
Heat Court needs to be something that sticks around.
I had no idea. Dan was like, we need Heat Court. And then 30 seconds later, there was a tweet.
I enjoyed your rules yesterday that you threw out there for people trying to celebrate the 100-degree weather and stay cool and sane.
That's what inspired it. Yeah, that's what inspired it late last night in our group chat. We're like, okay, we got to do this.
It's great. We did.
Dan was like, I've got it. Heat Court. And I'm like, do we get the Night Court theme? And then the answer was yes. And then next thing we know, it's on Twitter, which means we have to commit to it.
So I'm a big fan of the Night Court theme. I believe I had it when I did top five television themes. I think I had it at number five or number four. But I always go back and forth on whether it's a stronger instrumental than the Barney Miller.
Not as funky.
Instrumental.
Not as funky.
It's definitely not as funky, although it is funky. But the Barney, like the bass line from the Barney Miller one, like just puts it, like sets it off.
I was an orc dork and played the dorkiest of all the instruments in viola. But for those who decided they wanted to lug around, assignment number one was always learn the theme from Barney Miller.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's very cool. Like, it's just late. It's a very different vibe than the actual show was, because I never thought the show itself was cool, but the theme song was cool.
Yeah, Sanford and Son's pretty good, too, though.
I mean, but that's you're not playing fair, because that's Quincy Jones, right? So, like, that's, yeah, like, you're going to have Quincy Jones put something together? That doesn't seem very fair. It's going to be the requisite amount of funky.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
Now they just use like pre-existing songs for themes a lot of the time. They don't compose theme songs anymore.
Well, they also, there's no opening credits anymore because it's all ad time. There's no reason to have it and or it's stuff going directly to on demand. No one's taking the time to let you settle in with Everybody Knows Your Name or the Hill Street Blues or St. Elsewhere. It's really not part of the TV experience.
I was watching Sanford and Son because I keep thinking about, I'm not there yet. You know, my 47th birthday passed last week. And so I start thinking about how they had aged some people up for some of these shows, including Red Fox, who I want to say was 49 when Sanford and Son started. So then I started thinking about Dan Bernstein. Oh, and God. Dan, I believe, I predict, and I believe that you are now older than Rue McClanahan was when she started Golden Girls.
I think that's right. I think that's
right. I don't think it is.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure, because everyone talks about
she's born in what, like 35? 36 maybe? And then when did Golden Girls start? 86? 87? What a great... Have you guys watched Golden Girls, by the way? Like, I'm a big fan of...
Hell
like,
yeah.
That show right now still holds up. If you can get away with, like, the what's going on, like, the show and the background of it and stuff, and the fashion, but they were ahead of their time on a bunch of different levels with that show.
Rue McClanahan, according to Parade, was 52 when Golden Girls began. Oh. I thought she was 55.
She was the youngest. So I want to wow. say it was like in age, it was her, then Estelle Getty, then B. Arthur, and then Betty White. I think that's how their ages broke down.
But wasn't Estelle Getty the mom of Betty White?
Yes. Yes. No, she was the mom of B. Arthur. But and that was kind of the fun thing, that they were the same age, but here was Estelle Getty playing 30 or 40 years older than she actually was.
Oh, well, that happens all the time. Look at the age difference between like Kelsey Grammer and John Mahoney on Frasier when they were doing that. What's the, or the other one? Or John Amos and some
J.J. Walker
on Good Times, yeah.
Or Sabrina LeBeau and Felicia Rashad. I think it was the difference between them was only 10 years. But one's wow. the mom and one's the college student. And the same thing with like Sanford and Son. Like that, I looked at some of the actresses that played Fred's girlfriends, and they were all much younger than they were supposed to be on the show.
That's just Hollywood, Lawrence.
I would just say welcome to Hollywood, right?
It's crazy.
That's yeah, the viewpoint of women in their 50s by Hollywood and Golden Girls is pretty interesting. That's a character study, I'd say, but, for sure.
But they did so much, like the because you had a bunch of them, they had all kind of worked together before. There's a lot of inside stuff. There's the role reversal between what Rue McClanahan and Betty White were doing on the Mary Tyler Moore show right. versus what they were doing on Golden Girls, where on the Mary Tyler Moore show, Betty White's character was a little bit more promiscuous, and obviously in Golden Girls, Blanche was, you know, Blanche was out there blanching all the time. So the jokes that they have with each other, the deadpan B. Arthur stuff, whenever Rose tells a story, it's...
I'm sorry, I can never think of Blanche Zucchini quite the same way now. Thanks a lot for that.
What?
Oh,
because
Blanche, no.
Blanche be blanching?
Oh, no.
But it's an actual vegetable cooking technique. I mean, come on, man.
Well, Blanche was out there cooking.
Ew.
She was out there cooking coconut grove.
Dan, I sentenced you to no more heat court.
All right. Sorry. I'm out. I'm in heat court temporary prison.
Hey, man.
In the holding cell.
And guess Blanche what the heat court is? Heat. You just
she
go
was open about her sexuality, and I am here for it. I'm glad that Blanche Devereaux was out here doing work and,
yeah, she
and
was
taking
confident.
Names.
She lived her best life. I still laugh at the gif where she sprays herself with water.
You damn right.
That's hilarious.
That's how we all feel today.
B. Arthur's sarcasm, though, as you can imagine, I want to be that good at the sarcasm.
B. She's Arthur is outstanding. Wasn't she a Marine?
Yes, I believe I get some of these things confused. It was Julia Child was the spy.
What? And I
oh yeah. yeah.
Oh yeah. She was an OSS spy, and I believe B. Arthur
I think she was a Marine.
Again to the internet. What is this about Julia Child being a... Wait, should I do...
Oh, yeah.
What is this about Julia Child being a spy?
She was.
That was very good.
Yeah, here
yeah,
it is.
The same voice. We have the same voice.
Bernice Frankel, B. Arthur. During World War II, Bernice Frankel enlisted as one of the first members of the United States Marine Corps Women's Reserve. And after basic training, she was a typist at Marine Headquarters, transferred to the Motor Transport School at Camp Lejeune, worked as a truck driver... and a dispatcher honorably discharged in 1945 at the rank of Staff Sergeant.
How about that? Not just Marine. And, Staff Sergeant Marine yeah. B. Arthur.
And she's 5'10".
Yeah, like she's an imposing figure in both Bad stature ass. And voice. Like an absolutely imposing figure, which is one of the things I think that made her so great as a comedian. Because her as the straight man... Like, just was outstanding. And then to have that crew of clowns around her. Oh, it's every Sunday morning, Layla. I'm not kidding. I watch at least an hour of Golden Girls. Because it always puts me in a good mood. And it's just a well, like, there's some sitcoms that were so forward thinking. that even 35 years later, you can still enjoy them.
Well, so was Maude. I mean, she was already on one of those.
Right. Well, I mean, then you have the whole set of Maude and All in the Family and the Jeffersons, and the Jeffersons doing the thing where you've got the mixed mm-hmm. kids, and one of them's white and one of them's black. Like, I mean, this is, some of that stuff is just amazing that, one, they were getting away with stuff like that. And I still, there are some people who completely get all of it wrong when it comes to the character of Archie Bunker. But, you know, I still enjoy seeing a lot of those. This texter says DMX's favorite show was Golden Girls. I'm not surprised by that.
I like Golden Girls. I used to watch it with my grandmother. Archie Bunker to me is problematic. But that's mostly because I don't appreciate people having violence threatened by their husbands.
Well, then the Honeymooners is an issue too, as it should be. But the, you know, that when Norman Lear talks about Archie Bunker, he was intended to be obviously hyperbolically comic.
Yes, and he's supposed to be a buffoon to be laughed at.
And
kind of like how Gordon
was,
Gekko was supposed to be a huge villain and then was like heroized and become a role model.
Yeah, no one involved anticipated that he would be an anti-hero or in some cases even a hero. And Carol O'Connor, when he took the role, really thought that the joy of the role would be in the send-up aspect of it, but it became, all of a sudden, his job as an actor became overlaid by the social response to what he was doing, and it was incredibly intense for him to keep portraying that, knowing that people were taking it as he was a role model.
Especially considering some of, like, Carol O'Connor's views on everything.
Exactly. Exactly. That's, I mean,
same
that's
thing like, with Ed Asner.
Well, Ed Asner wore it on his sleeve a lot more, though. I mean, Ed Asner
and got blackballed for it.
He did. Ed Asner has been a card carrying activist socialist his entire career.
Have you seen, like, I mean, I know Boondocks probably missed you, Dan, because, you know, he's your Dan. But but Ed Asner on Boondocks, like, is so good. Because he's kind of playing like an alternate reality version of Ed Asner, and it's so great. Like, it's absurd how funny he is on Boondocks. I mean, Boondocks itself is incredible, but that in particular is one of the things that makes me laugh is all of the Ed Asner bites on that show.
Boondocks is one of those shows you talk about that's like ahead of its time.
I agree. Aaron Magruder, like, really special talent when it comes to all of that. Like, the stuff that he did, and some of the stuff was so far ahead that it seemed ridiculous. Like, the R. Kelly trial. Like, some of that stuff was so far beyond that you're like, ah, that could never happen. And then, of course, it happens. Good news, though. Did you guys see the breaking news?
No.
There's breaking news for a friend of ours and friend of the station.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yes.
How cool.
Shakia Taylor is joining the Chicago Tribune as senior content editor. Do you know how like, satisfying? Like, I do feel like a Shakia Taylor truther. Like, I'm one of these people who's like, she's great. Everyone needs to read Shakia Taylor. She's great. And now, like, seeing her be on the content editor for the Trib, for the Chicago Tribune, it's huge. So I expect that there's going to be a lot of fun and different and interesting stories that are going to be pitched. And I'm really hopeful that she's going to be able to write still, because I don't want to lose, as a consumer, I don't want to lose her as a writer. But even with her vision and the way that she sees and portrays sports, and you add that to my homie Amanda Kashubi, man, These are good times.
Well, especially because the way it operates now, and as you know, I am a daily, remain a print subscriber to the Chicago Tribune. And first of all, I'm happy to see that even under the management of Alden Capital, there's still hiring going on, that they still have kept a number of vibrant and brilliant writers who compel you to read them every day, some of whom I consider friends. And the sports section needs to rethink what it is beyond being a traditional here's what happened yesterday sports
yes.
section, and become perhaps more magazine story oriented, more timeless, deeper, larger things. She is an ideal hire to help them bring some of that proprietary content in new and different directions.
I'm a big believer of the phrase journalism is sociology and fast forward. And I feel like Shakia is one of those people who can bridge sociology and journalism and help define and communicate and amplify existence. So I am certainly thrilled that she gets this opportunity.
Where did the you other hear part that of line, it, too, is like
journalism is sociology and fast forward. Where'd you hear that? Or did you coin
my
that?
Directional public school in Texas?
That's a really
the University
cool
of
thing.
North Texas.
That's a really cool thing. Sociology and fast forward. Interesting.
Public school.
That's the other thing about Shakia, is like she's just cool. Like there's a coolness factor. And I'm not saying that people who work in the sports department at the Tribune aren't cool. I'm just saying that the coolness factor has been raised exponentially. And the ideas that she's going to have. And if you haven't read her piece of the eatery on Herald. Oh, and so I hope that means that she can, you know, because you're a deputy editor, maybe occasionally you pop into another part of the paper and maybe you write something else because you're a really great writer. It's awesome.
Did I see an iconic Herald's just closed?
Which one?
I saw a Herald's thing bubble up on Twitter in the middle of the show, and people are sort of recalculating their closest Herald's. And I don't get involved in a lot of the deep politics there because the feelings are strong and deep as opposed to what's legit and what's real. And
yeah, but I mean, you find the Herald's that works for you. That's always been the thing. Like whatever. I mean, I know how mine started. Like the guy who lived across the street from us in Roseland owned the Herald's on 103rd and Halsted. And I mean, that's when you said iconic Herald's, that's the first one I thought of, because that's the one where Kanye made the Through the Wire video, is Tentray and Halsted. But Friday night, like my brother was best friends with that guy's son. So we would get broke off Herald's on Fridays every now and again. And it was a delight. Like, we'd be like, what? We got our own Herald's right here? This is wonderful.
It's got to be nice.
That's pretty great.
That sounds like lunch I want to have.
I mean.
That's all.
This is probably not the day to go to Herald's.
Although, no, yeah, it is, though.
Do you think it's because there'll be less people in there?
No, I think because the actual tradition of Southern deep-fried cooking was due to not wanting to roast and bake, not wanting to have a hot oven heating the house, where you could heat up the oil, fry the food, and be done with it. It actually is in the tradition of hot days. Calabash-style seafood in the lowlands of South Carolina, all the fried oysters, some of the Louisiana fried po' boy stuff. I mean, a lot of the aspects
of fried
food.
I'm not saying that you don't want to eat it. I'm saying that you might not want to be in the actual Herald's for 30 minutes today.
Ah.
Yeah, sweaty.
Right.
Hot. I agree.
Yes.
I agree with Lawrence.
This might not be the day. Like, today's the day where you go to Jenny's Ice Cream and you just kind of hang around in there and go, oh, I'd like a sample of this. And I'd also like a sample of that.
I haven't made up my mind about this. I'm still not quite sure about this.
I'm going to need another one of those samples and something to cleanse my palate.
A sorbet, perhaps. Number 7 on my list was ice cream. Duh.
There, I will say that Jenny's has a what is it? It's a sparkling sorbet. Ooh. That's just, oh, I can't remember the flavor.
The frosé sorbet.
It wasn't frosé, but it was like bring all of it. All of it.
I had something I forgot was really good, and I forgot that I liked.
I forgot,
and it is using whole milk and probably a little too much strawberry quick. Really cold whole milk, strawberry milk kind of rules.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had strawberry quick in forever.
And not the, and the powder. It has to be the powder. It can't be the liquid. It's got to be the powder, whatever it is, the corn syrup solids or whatever, because Jason has been drinking that after lifting, and that's like sort of his thing immediately because he prefers it to chocolate milk, and it serves the same purpose. But I am like, you know what? That looks good. Make me one of those. And I forgot how damn good it is.
I forgot.
If you put ice cream in that, number 7 on my list, you get a milkshake. Just saying.
Maybe milkshake. I'll do that.
Cold stuff.
Now I want Harold's too. Now I just need a piece.
Order Harold's and get yourself some ice cream afterwards. That sounds like a delightful afternoon, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, twist.
Delightful.
Mind. And what they don't tell you is a 6-piece is actually a 12-piece. Or more if you like the tips.
It's always nice when you get an extra wing or two. Been very lucky lately.
Happens.
It's very
nice. I could have made a joke there, and I just held off and smiled. Hey, what's on your show?
So, here's what's on the show today. Groats is going to join me, and I ran into Groats. It's been a strange day. Like, I was at the station, and I came back here. I ran into Groats as he was on his way to Hallis. So I'm going to talk with him about the Bears and Robert Quinn and if there's anything to be learned. I was enjoying you guys' conversation with Kevin Fishbane about all of the stuff. So there'll be some Bears stuff on the show. Russ Dorsey's going to join me. We're going to talk about baseball and some other stuff. There's some hateration that I felt last night, and I need to give voice to it. And I feel that I'm not alone on this, but I'm going to find out if I'm alone on this. Ooh. And I know I'm being a little bit vague, but let me ask you guys this before I let you go. Have you ever had a friend tell you, man, I can't wait until you meet my friend, blah, blah, blah. You guys are just alike. And then when you meet that friend, you're like, that was an insult that this person thinks that I'm like that person. That's where the jumping off point for this conversation is going to go.
A bad comp.
Yeah. And now.
Insulting comp.
Yeah. And so I take a lot of pleasure in this particular team's failures because I don't like that my fan base is associated with theirs.
Hey.
So that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. So you two have a wonderful rest of your day. Hopefully you get some Harold's and some ice cream.
Yay.